Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, June 2nd, 2020. Hosting along with myself tonight, man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Just to work.
Working.
I can tell you we're going forward on a few things.
Oh, sweet.
Been a thorn in my side for almost a year now. So.
We like going forward.
That's right.
It's nice when those thorns kind of start to get pulled out, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Thanks to Matt.
Speaking of Matt.
We're going forward with this.
Matt Esposito.
Here, present.
Present, kind of.
He don't deserve a mic in his.
We'll just wave to him.
I'm here.
Hey.
I'm here.
Great show lineup for you tonight. We have great guest with us tonight, Mr. Johnny Spilatro. How you doing, man?
First of all, can anybody hear me through this mask?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
That confirms it.
Well, appreciate you doing it. I guess we should ask you, and we're probably not prepared, but do you mind us not wearing a mask here with you?
No,
okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
The only reason why I'm wearing it is because all product placement.
Hey. Well, we'll get to that, too. That's good. That's good. It's those times right now where we do need to be aware of each other's needs, I guess.
Welcome to the new norm.
Right. So if you don't mind us being naked, we're fine. Facial naked. Okay. We'll make sure we
there we go.
We don't have Howard Stern to permit that at all.
That's right.
We can start a new hashtag. Call it Mask the Question.
Mask the Question. Ah, I like that.
There you go. Hey.
I like that. Good one.
So great having you here. We do appreciate it. And
thank you guys for having me. It's every time I come on here, it's always fun. Like, there's always a new level of excitement, you know?
Well, and we appreciate your level of excitement. And like I've said in the past, man, you've always been one of my favorite super stock driver. And then obviously moving along into upper echelon division, I guess super late model division. So it's always
I appreciate that, man.
Cool to watch your race there. Unfortunately, nobody racing lately, but what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do, right? And the only place else to advertise is going to be on our foreheads next, besides the mask. So get ready for the headbands.
Yeah. Headbands and face shields, man. Yeah.
Hey, we got to promote ourselves somehow. If we can't be on the racetrack, we might as well be on our bodies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, Gary, you said that you were doing nothing but then working.
Yes.
Working in the heat.
Yes, I am.
Wasn't too bad today.
No.
A little humid, kind of.
Customer had me in a garage today, and he was like, hey.
Is that air conditioning?
No, he was like, hey, I'm kind of hot. I'll turn on the fan for you. I'm like,
oh, he's hot. He just threw the fan on for you.
Yes.
That was awfully nice.
Exactly. Yeah. But, just working away, plugging away. Just going forward.
Busy, yeah. Sweet. I guess I'll hear about it later. Sounds like some thorns are getting pulled out. I'm glad to hear that. So.
And again, thanks to.
Well,
Matt,
I wasn't thinking yet. I'm going to see what's happening first before I start thinking.
I had
Matt
to
for
twist
anything.
His arm and his leg to get him to help me, but we're getting there.
Yeah, he does look a little twisted up.
Yeah.
Unless he always looked like that.
Yeah. We're getting there. Let me just say we're going forward.
All right. Forward's always a good direction to go.
And it's not at a standstill like it has been.
Right.
Cool. But again, his arm might hurt from me twisting it to help.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's good.
Of course, the lights might not light up, but there's light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right.
Johnny's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? What the heck? Include me in this. I don't know. I don't even know, Johnny. So we'll see, I guess.
You'll see. You'll be like me. Know that you're the last one to know anything. So,
yeah.
Like I am. So you'll know when
the
light at the end of the tunnel has hit.
Sure, after the light shining, I'll know. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll look for that.
And
look
where we're going, who knows when that's coming.
Exactly. What have you been up to up until this point? I know, you know, have you had, do you work outdoors or do you work in essential business or have you been in lockdown?
Yeah.
Or what have you been doing in the last few months?
Well, this quarantine period has actually been very productive. Thankfully, sponsor / employers at Polar Shades, we've been making masks and gowns and distributing them basically throughout the entire valley. So it's been all hands on deck with that.
Well, that's great. You know, and I'm glad you are sporting one right now. If anybody wants to,
still taking orders.
Okay, I was going to ask that. You know, that you're taking orders. You know,
so,
how
so
you
your company
hold that,
had
so.
The right machines to sew.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So they just did a conversion over, we're going to do this for now.
Yeah, we basically
reverse
engineered it. It was pretty much like my boss's idea for everybody. Well, not just for everybody to stay proactive, but at the same time, you know, do something to help out the community. Do something to help expedite the recovery process a little bit faster.
But also keep all of you in business.
It kept all of us in business and it kept all of us working. So,
yeah, that's perfect.
So, yeah.
And by the way, they look like really – nice face coverings that you guys have made there. They look really cool. So I'm going to be hitting you up after the show. You know,
we'll get you some.
Can you make his a little taller on the?
Yeah, because he's got that beard going. Yeah.
I want a full facial
one.
Right.
Just two little eyes.
Yeah, two eyes. In it.
Except but, Gary, there's one problem with it. It doesn't say LMTS.
we can get those embroidered after.
That's right.
Yeah.
Embroider it. Yeah.
Yeah, we basically took the fabrics that we normally put on shades and basically make the masks out of them, ordered up some plastic, you know, cut some, you know, outlines of gowns, welded the sleeves together, and basically just been shipping them out. So Dignity Health has been, you know, a huge, you know, customer of ours, comprehensive cancer centers, the fire departments, basically everybody on the front lines and stuff like that. Every gown that we made is like pretty much like a life saved and stuff like
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, man. Kudos
it's been
to
huge,
you
so.
And your crew and company you work for. You said they made gowns also?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So like the whole plastic gowns and stuff like that. So I'm playing a small role in something big.
Right.
And that makes me even more proud to be, you know, working for them and to have them on the car as well.
Well,
so.
You know, it's amazing, you know, you as small of a role you think you're playing, it's probably bigger than you actually know. So, you know, thank you for your company that you work for and yourself for being involved with something like that. That's huge. You know,
I'm doing my part, man.
Some of us got our hands tied. We wish we could do more. We'd, you know, find our own ways to try to contribute, but you know, to be able to, you know, to turn something around like that, it is something else. That's you know, I just speechless. That's really cool. You know, realistically, you know, it's amazing, especially during these weird, crazy, trying, unprecedented
nothing
times. You know,
nothing that any of us would ever even think about venturing into.
What'd you think of when you first started hearing all this, and was there talk about the company shutting down or closing the doors for a short period of time? Or
I knew we'd find a way to kind of like stay open.
Right.
But you know, at first they reduced my hours and stuff like that. But once things really kicked into high gear, you know, it was basically all hands on deck.
Nice.
You know, my boss, Steve Mevius, kind of came up with this idea and basically, you know, shared it with all of us coworkers, everybody from top management on down into production and stuff. And it was basically just all hands on deck.
Right.
Everybody was on board and we all kind of pitched in and made a huge difference with it. So
cool.
it's been really awesome to give back to the community as well.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, on top of staying busy.
Right. Well, cool. Before the end of the show, we'll kind of get back to the, you know, where we can get one of these and, you know, and all that. And if you have a company out there, you want to purchase a bunch of these and then donate them to other causes, that'd be great too.
Indeed.
So keep that in mind if you own a company or something like that and want to,
indeed,
you know, do something along those lines. So we'll make sure we get to some of that. So that's good. You've been busy doing that. We haven't seen you. What was it, last year maybe?
When
like
we were
that.
Racing?
Yeah, during those fun times where they used to be racing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of running around racing each other on the streets, I guess.
Yeah. I did buy myself up a muscle car to kind of like stay in that mood a little bit.
Well, you know, and I did see a pretty nice car sitting outside. I was like,
That's
wonder who's driving that beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. I mean, you had a need for speed, obviously, so if you can't get it on the track, you might as well get it on the streets. So.
In a reasonable rate. In a reasonable rate. But, bought my first car, you know, like on my own pretty much.
Sweet.
And, you know, since I'm a Chevy guy, I kind of went with the Chevy Camaro and stuff like that. And it was
Chevy Camaro, real nice.
It was the right fit. It's like kind of like the muscle car that like kind of like handles, you know, better than all the others and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody in the thread's going to have some different opinions, and that's cool.
Always, yeah.
That's cool.
Starting with Gary. He's a Ford guy. He's like, you should have got a Mustang stuff.
Yeah, that's what he's probably doing. But you can't diss the Mustang either. You can't.
No. You know
can't
what?
That's a Mustang.
Yeah, those categories of sports cars or what do you want to call them, muscle cars are all really cool in those categories. Like
absolutely, the
Mustang, the Camaro.
And I'm young enough, so now's the time to get it before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before I have to cart a family around.
Yeah exactly. Enjoy it because that's going to attract more women into your life, and then you're going to have more chances of having a family.
Hey, it's looking pretty good so far. It's looking good so far.
And then that's the end of your racing and then the start of the minivans and all.
Uh-huh. You answer every question like a typical racer. Well, this Palacio Camaro was running really good today. It took a 15 at
Yeah, it was just a little bit on edgy at times, but we got like a really good bite off. can't thank Wells Fargo for setting up the auto pay.
There you go, right? Exactly. Got to give kudos where they're due.
So
good purchase. You like what you bought? Got any speeding tickets yet?
Not yet, but it's definitely the best down payment I've ever I ever put down. So I'm perfectly content with it.
You know, that's good. We all have to do that at some point to get the vehicles we want to own. And, you know.
Next thing's a house.
There you go. You see, hey, you accomplished.
That'll take a little bit.
I don't know. Right now, maybe coming up here might be the time to start to look to buy. Of course, I'm not a real estate expert or anything, but looks like they're, you know, the way the interest rates are going and all that, they might have incentives to purchase housing here.
Well, my mom's a real estate agent, and
you might know somebody.
I know people. I got something for everything.
That's always good to have is a connection, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So, how'd you finish the season out last season? We'll talk about last season before you roll into.
Might as well. What's there to talk
season
about? we finished off the year pretty good. I mean, we set out to improve on what we did in our rookie season. We did that. Finished fourth in the points. Had the second most top fives out of anybody in the field. So that's a good accomplishment to kind of hang our hats on. The ending with the last two races, including the fall open comp, were a little bit rough. We kind of got caught up in somebody else's mess, but, you know, no biggie. That happens from time to time. Last year we ended up on a pretty strong note, and you know, it's definitely something that I was proud of, because we kind of proved that year that we could hang with all the heavy hitters that year. So.
You know, going into the season, did you had that the right momentum? I mean, was there a point
absolutely
going into the season where you felt like, hey, I'm settling into this super late model? You know how it is. Each car we've all can attest to it. Probably each race car we've owned or something, we kind of get the feel for its own character, and we know what that car can do. We know what it feels like. We know how it feels to us, and we become you know part
come
of it.
Along with the car.
Is it? Did you feel a lot of that coming into the race car that you have had last season?
Oh, absolutely. I knew from the end of, you know, my rookie season in 2018, I knew we were going to have a good season last season. And that was evident with the opening race as well as the first few races, you know, heading into the season where we showed off speed right off the truck. Kind of hit a lull, you know, midway through when we got into trouble at Night of Fire, but then after that, you know,
well,
we kind of stepped in the right direction. So.
So during Night of Fire, what happened? Did you get into an altercation with...
No, I got caught up in trouble and fell two laps down, got all my laps back, but missed, it was misscored.
Oh,
it's somewhere in the archives.
Okay.
I talked about it.
Well, I know. And, you know, sometimes somebody don't know. That brings a good point. If you want to hear from that, we did talk about that. You can go back to some of the archives. But somebody may be joining us that don't know. And,
That's
why I kind of like to recap a little bit once in a while. But,
That was just the long and short of it and stuff like that. And then.
And we won't get into details, of course. I know, I know there were some things there. But at that point, though, did you feel like we're able to get back on track? We're going to finish this season strong. And, you know, I know we're all out there to win, but sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And basically, once we got the car fixed up from that first incident, you know, we were looking like we were heading in that right direction again. We were getting top five finishes. Then the last race of the season, you know, it was just pretty much off the entire day.
Right.
After showing a lot of speed on Friday night, which, you know, happens from time to time and stuff. So you kind of just brush it off and move on. Then open comp came around. I basically set new personal bests as far as times go, but, you know, got caught up in trouble with that.
Do you like when you go from your regular racing program into an open comp race where you kind of can do a little bit more to your race car to tweak it a little bit to make it a little bit faster?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's a little bit extra added pressure because you're going up against, you know, the best of the best.
Right.
But I love it because...
And you know they're bringing their best also.
You're going up against the best of the best.
Right.
And that's kind of how it was in February when we ran, you know, on Cup weekend when, you know, some driver that drives a number 18 M&M's Camry came
something
down.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's
motivation.
So when he came down, you know, that gave me a lot of pep in my step to kind of... prepare and really show him, you know, what I got and stuff. Didn't pan out the way that I hoped, but, you know, it's always events like that with names like that.
Absolutely.
You know, the Kyle Busches, the Bubba Pollards, the Jeremy Dosses of the world. That's what jacks me up every time I wake up in the morning.
Well, that's cool.
Gets me to say, hey, these guys may whoop my butt, but I'm still not going to let that happen.
Right.
Boom. Off to work we go, you know?
Well, you know, it gives you something to gauge yourself off of to see if they're doing something different than how you would do it or how you want to do it, you know?
And you learn more about what you can do
when
something like that, when you immerse in an environment like that and you can improve on that. And that's basically what we've been doing all this time is researching on, you know, just setups and stuff like that, making our cars better and, well, now we're going to have to go out of town and try and test that out and see how that works. But, you know, we'll squeeze it in.
Well, yeah, a race like that, if you can stay on the lead lap with a pro driver like that, I think that's an accomplishment in itself.
You got to know they're bringing in unlimited funding for a program that's a local program.
Right.
So that to go up against something like that is enormous.
And to keep up, to keep up, stay on the lead lap, because there was a good amount of you on the lead lap.
Did you find yourself pushing yourself past certain limits that you didn't feel comfortable with, or?
Yes, and I felt like I had to, and it was evident because right when I go out to qualify, the alternator dies out. And I'm getting pushed around by the push truck, like literally the whole entire time trying to start it. They push me back into the pits. We fix it up. We think it's okay. I have to start in the back of the B main. There was a B main in that night. Drove up to a fifth in a lap and got to the transfer spot, you know, with like a few laps after that. We were like literally well on our way. And then, you know, the alternator kind of kicked back again and basically just did us in. But, you know, it sucks because we were struggling all weekend as well. But I think with qualifying, I think we kind of had something going for us. And in the B main, it was really evident. I knew we kind of had like the right feel to kind of challenge with those guys.
Absolutely.
So we would have gotten, I believe we would have gotten a pretty solid finish out of that. So, which is a bummer. Still not over it.
Right.
You
know what though, to know you had what it took to get there. You know, nobody can predict mechanical failures. You know, like an alternator,
it's part
or something
of
like
it.
That. Especially electrical. That's
part
the worst.
It.
You know. Chasing electrical issues, but to mm-hmm. know, did you know when you got up to a transfer spot, did you guys kind of relax a little bit, or did you want a better transfer spot just in case?
I wanted one spot more.
Right.
And it just happened to be my teammate in front of me.
I'm going to push you out of the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I wanted one spot more because I needed insurance.
How important is that? Did that come into any kind of play with strategy, knowing that that was your teammate, but you wanted to have that extra?
Well, unfortunately, it never got a chance to play itself out. But Warren Nipper's cool. He's always treated me like a little brother, and he's always raced me clean and stuff like that. But I would have raced him like I would have raced like everybody else and stuff like that. But if I knew, and if my spotter told me I was like getting away from the guy chasing me down for the transfer spot, I would have been all like, I would have taken my lumps and probably would have just taken the transfer spot right then and
right.
there. But you don't really know that's happening.
Right.
So in those types of races, you always want, you know, one spot more to kind of, you know,
right.
give you a certain, you know, fixture that you're in, and then
right.
you can relax a little bit, you know?
Was Warren planning on just doing a couple races during the season, or kind of planning on a whole season? Because that makes a difference in giving up his spot to give it to you,
yeah.
let's say, for that cushion. I mean, is
I think we were all running for the full deal, and I think as long as you attempted to qualify,
right.
everybody got the same amount
okay.
of points anyway. So
okay.
we were good. So does that mean like we have like, I don't know, 15, 25 co-champions for the super late division?
You know, it depends on how you say you finish the season, because, you know, I know they did that in other sports. Like, did they do it in hockey, Gary?
Yeah.
Hey, wherever you finished, then
yep.
what position would that put you in if you just.
It put me in a 14-way tie for first, I guess.
Hey, there you go. Everybody's a winner. So maybe the track
yeah.
put out a first
yeah.
place trophy for everyone.
Yeah, it was a weird deal because I think everybody knew it was going to be hard to kind of squeeze into an event like that.
Right.
So you kind of had to, you know, make it fair for everybody in that regard.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we'll start next year and kind of rebound from that, if we even are going to be here or next year. So, you know, we'll see. Now it's just, you know, taking, you know, one out of town race at a time and just, you know, basically just running for fun now
and
getting experience.
What was your, if, you know, I don't know if you can speak for the whole team or not, but what was the, when you guys found out in the whole the garage, basically the with all the team members, when you guys found out there was not going to be a season, I mean, was it, you know, kind of, well, we kind of thought that was going to happen,
yeah,
or was it just a surprise
yeah.
for some? You know, I mean,
I was gutted. I think we all were. I think it was something that we kind of knew
in the back
of my mind
right.
that was going to happen. We just didn't want to believe it.
Right.
I mean,
because really, who would think that could happen? You know, this is one of the if not the premier track on the West Coast here locally with the Bullring, you know.
It came as a shock to everybody because, you know, there is a way to kind of pull off a full season, you know, without fans and live streaming it on Facebook. I think that would have been, you know, a huge hit. And I think that would have been, my opinion, I think that would have been an
right.
option, you know, worth considering and stuff like that. But at the same time, LVMS kind of has their own, you know, management agenda. It kind of ties in, you know, with NASCAR and stuff like that.
Right.
And if they say, you know, no fans, then, you know,
right.
I guess in that position, why take the chance? But, it's still rough on us because we already dumped, you know,
exactly.
some
dollars
into our cars and stuff.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know, because a lot of times we gear up for the next season, even now for the following season, you know, this time of year, you know, in summer or summer break and all that, we plan on finishing out the season, but we already have plans and gearing up for the following season. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hate to have that momentum just, you know, kicked out from under you right away. But yeah, you're right. Like the track, you know, obviously there's some other politics going on internally, I'm sure, but
yeah,
you know, they have their own, you know, accountabilities and all that they have
mm-hmm.
to account for, unfortunately. But
yeah,
you know,
that's the reason why we were gun shy on, you know, traveling, you know, at first,
right.
you know, was because, you know, we still held out that belief that we were going to be back and we were
right.
run a whole season. We'd like that opportunity to kind of accomplish what we set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of prepared as if, you know, events were, you know, going to happen. And if they showed out on the schedule that they were still on at the time, you know, I was preparing for it,
right.
you know,
right.
just like normal. But now that that's pretty much taken away, it's like, okay, now we kind of have to look elsewhere to race. Now we have to look at, you know, like a Tucson or a Havasu
right.
or even Irwindale, Madera, places like that. Because now is the perfect opportunity to kind of explore, venture out, and get better and stuff like that.
How does this fall into play with your sponsors, though? Because a lot of times as a local racer, we
mm-hmm.
sell to our sponsors, you know, a local venue.
Mm-hmm.
Now here you are going
yeah.
to other tracks where you don't have spectators because they're not going to be allowed spectators at this
Absolutely.
Point that I know of anyways. And
well, Tucson kind of had a way around it. They allow fans in the stands. They just don't have NASCAR sanction the race
oh,
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Right.
So that's what happened with that ordeal. But as
well,
far
they hope they don't have an outbreak of some kind because they'll be national news.
Right.
You know? I think that's what everybody's kind of scared of. I would think as a track or a, you know, an event promoter or something like that, because if something does happen, all eyes are on you. So,
yeah. But Arizona's in a pretty
yeah,
know,
they're a little different
they're
how
they
go
about
stuff.
State. They're in a decent state.
Yeah.
So,
immediately did you guys look out to say, hey, let's look at other tracks where we might be able to go?
Oh, absolutely.
Instantly. Okay.
Absolutely. We're already, you know, scanning through rule books. We're already watching film. We're already kind of keeping up with their events, taking a look at what lines they're running and stuff like that. Just learning as much as we can about, you know, certain tracks before we dive into it,
right.
because with those tracks I named off, it's foreign territory.
Yeah.
It's nothing that that any of us have ever dealt before.
Well, you know, we've said before, yeah, that's something that we think everybody should try is go out and tour, you know, cause it's
oh,
a
yeah.
whole different kind of thing. Now everybody's kind of forced with this option. Do we
yeah.
wait till next year, see what happens, or do we continue to go race with
absolutely
you know, some momentum that we have?
And on top of that, the logistics, you know, have to line up. So
absolutely.
To kind of go back with my sponsors, you know, I have really great partners. I mean, the best, you know,
right.
partners in the state of Nevada, along with Polar Shades. You know, we have Bravo Tickets, we have Diamondback Land Surveying. They came on right before the year started. They're all three of them are very instrumental with promoting, with advertising through sports
okay.
and with the Golden Knights and stuff like that.
Right.
Through the help of, you know, kind of like my marketing agency, Full Metal Worldwide.
Sweet.
They kind of signed me on with that. And you kind of want to expose them a little bit more. Problem is with the drawback, you know, some of those businesses as I've named off took some financial hits
they
because
all
of
right
because of, you know, the lack of customers, you know, ordering,
yeah.
you know, whatever or
the
they need to
products,
order.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially ticketing, you know, Bravo tickets and, you know,
yeah.
the businesses.
And they got killed the worst.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
They got killed the worst. So
well, you hope they stay alive and, you know, they are there with you when you guys pull through this.
Yeah.
We all will, you know,
yeah.
we hope
he's also my godfather. So he's pretty much along for the ride, no matter what, I guess.
No, that's good. You know, that helps to have, that kind of backing, whether no matter how it comes to you, you know, it's important. And we hope those businesses
mm-hmm.
continue to stay alive. Like, hate to see any business, you know, fail because of something that's out of their hands, you know.
Yeah. So I basically let them all know, you know, I know you guys are trying to save money. I know these guys are rough times.
Right.
I mean, we'll just kind of hold off on all that until we go back racing. And if we do, you know, I let you know. And they were pretty gracious about it. They kind of understood, you know, where I was coming
right.
from. And I basically let them know that, you know, I didn't want to take any funds away from them if I wasn't using it, right? Because
right.
it just wouldn't be the right thing to do. So they're all like, we stand by you 100%.
Cool.
And we'll when you're ready, you know, just kind of just let us know and stuff like that. So, you know,
what do you think it's going to be like going to whatever track you end up going to without the pressure of a points race to be able to just go have some fun? You know, hey, let's just go out there, have some fun, get the best finish we can get, and not
well,
worry
great.
About points.
Well, it's
or
great for
like
me because I got nothing to lose.
No, exactly. You know, and it puts you in a different mindset. You know, when you get out there, obviously, you know, wrecking is always in the back of anybody's mind. But nobody expects that to happen. But to go out there to be relaxed and not, you know, have some of the pressures you normally would,
especially
it
if it's
a huge difference, huh?
Especially if it's a different track that that I've never been before.
Right.
And, you know, something I'd never experienced before that I'm not normally accustomed to, you know, the focus kind of shifts towards, you know, okay, instead of racing other competitors, focus on racing the racetrack.
Right. Getting to know what you're up against.
Exactly.
Sure.
So, because it's a completely different animal. Well,
you could go up and pick the fight with the most wins, the guy that has the most wins, like picking a fight with the biggest guy in the room, right?
Pick his brain a little bit.
Yeah, you know, go to the winner.
Yeah, it's a good start.
I think that's going to be fun for you. I'm going to be excited to see what the outcome is when you get out there and kind of feel these different tracks out. And I think you know, you're going to learn some interesting things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tracks, you know?
Now, like you said, it's back to, you know, back to square one, back to the drawing board and the rookie status. You're basically just learning, you know, all over again. You like to learn as fast as you can on the fly to kind of catch up with, you know, with the heavy hitters. But at the same time, you know, you got to just focus on racing the racetrack first, really understanding it and mastering it. And then just going from there, pretty much.
Right. You know, that's tough because, you know, learning a new track kind of gets frustrating and it's hard, but at the same time, there's a lot of fun involved in that. And the traveling part of it all adds a different perspective to it all.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the fun. You know, and hopefully, you know, once you start doing that, you know, we don't lose, you know, our likes for the local racing either when they do open up, you know, but
absolutely.
At the same time, you know, you never know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I know they're racing this weekend. Probably, unfortunately, won't, you know, make that one. I don't think
right.
I could get the time off work that
right.
quick.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, you know, logistically, you know, with sponsorships, you know, not only do I have to get, you know, my old ones back going, but also find some new partners that will be willing
right.
to kind of tag along and kind of share that experience.
You know,
so.
When you guys, I mean, you guys plan as a team, let's say inkling that, hey, I want to go racing wherever they're racing, let's just say Tucson. Do you plan that with your teammates also? Say, hey, let's all go. Let's get, you know, how many of our cars are in the stable to go also.
It's all for one for all. You know, pretty much, you know, everybody's, you know, kind of got to be on board. Every car is, you know, just
going to
show
Nobody's
up.
Nobody's going rogue, saying, you know, just kind of splitting off and running on their own or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, no. we don't plan on doing any of that that rogue type stuff. But like I said, all for one, it's just going to be like a traveling thing that we're all going to kind of experience together and hopefully bring so much fun back into it that, you know, when the bullring does come back, if it ever does, we'll kind of bring that fun factor, you know,
so
with that area.
So what
start
if,
stronger.
What if you could gear up, you're planning on going to Tucson or something, and 2 weeks from now, they at the bullring say, hey, we're going to have a race.
Let's go. Is that your priority, or what do you do? Do you stick to your – and obviously it would be a one-race thing, maybe. You never know, but what would you do?
It depends on when the race falls on.
Right, I guess.
Yeah, so, you know, with Night of Fire officially, you know, not happening, that's
right.
A 76-lap super late model race.
Right.
Tucson's got a 100-lap deal on
right.
that on 4th of July day. So
right.
I think that's the more, you know, attractive option, you know,
right.
for now and stuff. But heck, if the bowling ever does come back, you know, it may be for like 4 races and stuff.
Right.
And in that event, you know, we'll probably try Havasu. So it's just,
right.
I guess it just all depends.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I doubt that'll happen.
Right.
I think if they made a commitment to, you know, shutting off the seat, easing off, and they're going to kind of stick to their guns and run with it.
That was hypothetical. So, but you never know.
But like you said,
you never know. Right now, I think every track is kind of on a week to week basis or a day to day basis. They don't know, you know, if there's a chance for a track to do more. I think they would elect to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And some tracks that want to do more are being held back and probably can't do what they want to
yeah.
do. And
especially with
so
what's
on.
Going on, you know, now
right.
throughout the world and stuff like
yeah.
that. You have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too.
That's kind of a new part into the mix that nobody expected and unfortunate, you know.
2020 has been whack as hell.
Yeah. It
really has.
So, you know, just throw some earthquakes at us, some volcanoes, and some
killer hornets.
Well, we already have that. You know, it's like
Joe Exotic lets the tigers loose.
Exactly. Yeah, what else could you have? Joe Exotic, period. That's up for 2020.
Right? Oh, man.
Yeah, it's been pretty weird. What else can we expect? We're only halfway through the year. So.
Indeed.
But,
indeed.
I don't know. Well, how would you like to see the year? Ideally, you know, let's say Johnny Spilotro, you have the ticket to make the rest of the year how you want it. How would you like to see that?
Well, like I said, experiencing, you know, new racetracks and kind of, you know, just touring around, you know, the area as much as I can and staying active as much as I can.
Okay.
With us, you know, it's kind of you know, it was kind of like going to be like a six-race season, you know.
You're right.
Anyways, so with everything canceled, and my only race this year so far was the Star Nursery 100,
mm-hmm.
where I had a mechanical failure take me out of a once in a lifetime opportunity. That obviously, you know, doesn't sit well with me. So I'm looking to come back stronger. And stay active as much as I can and just, you know, take one race at a time, one day at a time and just enjoy it. And once again, prove that I belong with,
right.
you know, the Eric Thorns and all the other SRL guys,
you know,
that I could hang with them. You know,
I think you've already proved that, you know, being out there and doing what you've accomplished, you know, I think nobody's ruling you out as a contender on any night that you race. So that's really good.
I appreciate that.
Good to start seeing that, you know, hey, you call it like you see it. You know, you got the equipment and you've got the, talent, you have the seat time, obviously more seat time is always better. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully you get it. And I think being forced into experiencing some of these different tracks, you're just going to be,
thing.
Yeah, it's a good
it's
thing.
A
you're
thing.
Just going to become a better driver, better than you are now, you know? So
yeah.
And you got a Camaro out there to practice on the streets.
Maybe I'll sneak it into the bowl ring and use it as a
test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
tell anyone.
Well, that's what I wish the bowl ring would do. They would
leave the gate open and look the other way.
No, just like when we have registration night in February, to just do a test and tune night. To at least let everyone bring the car out, warm it up, get it going.
Oh, they do, but you got to pay for it.
$100.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or more.
Still a solid idea.
But still,
yeah.
I think the racers would pay the $100.
Well, they do that.
You come in, you stay.
By the way, they do that. You know that, right? They have an open practice before the season.
The registration.
I know they do. I'm okay. talking about doing it now.
Oh,
oh
right
yeah.
Now. Oh, I'm
now.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. During the, well,
Well,
just,
you know,
just pick a weekend.
Just let guys get
like
out there.
Like a Friday night, Saturday night.
Get the.
You know, you pay the $50, $100, whatever. You come, you stage your, you know, the pits, 12 feet apart, 20 feet apart, whatever, and then the cars, you go, get to go out one car at a time. You knock out 5-6 laps, pull off, and then same thing. You just get in line, but at least get a warm up out of it.
We'll get at least kind of keep. Keep our
the race bug going.
Yeah, exactly.
The race bug going. But hey, if you can do that,
yeah,
you can run a season.
Exactly.
You know, so that's my thing on it. It's like we are literally giving you money to run your show. We are literally,
you know,
asking you to beg. We are begging you to take our bank accounts away.
Well, you know, and I think if the track put it out there, I don't know. And, you know, obviously it costs money to operate that track.
Oh,
of
course.
Course guys pay, and who
of
knows
course.
If it pays for itself or not, but putting it out there, they could probably get a lot of volunteers right now that want to keep the racing
it's
going.
It's logistics. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
you got to break even at the end of the day, but
I think the money that we would generate doing that would at least pay for EMS, would pay for the track crew, and you only need one person in the tower.
Well, you know, my thought has always been that little track right there, they shouldn't look at it as a moneymaker because they have this big track over here
that should just,
you know, that could be the change that falls out of the big track's pocket to let this little track operate. That's always been my take on it.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I don't know, you know.
Same thing with that dirt track over there.
What? They have a dirt track?
I think it's on the other side.
Is it small?
Oh, wait.
Is it a small little track?
Wait. It's on the other side of the big track you're talking about.
And on top of that, it's on the other side of the drag strip,
which is
also on the other side of the
big
track.
Is there
track.
Like another track that kind of points towards where the round dirt track is?
Yeah.
Like a big straight track?
Yeah. The catch fence is out there.
Heck, if you go past it, you went to St. George.
There you go. Now, you know, and obviously there's probably a lot more, like you said, logistics involved in why they don't do certain things that we'll never know. As long as I've been going to the Bullring, which before it was called the Bullring, when I've been going to this track, I've always tried to understand why they did some of the things they've always done, and I still can't figure it out. And nobody will.
This is why, you know, they have the pay grade that they have, and this why the pay grade that we have.
You know, and obviously, you know, if we could have it our own ways, we would just say, hey, let's go back to normal, go racing.
Absolutely.
Let's pretend COVID never existed,
that's,
you know,
right,
or something,
right.
You know. So, but, you know, there are those other factors involved, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, we got to look out for that. But practice will be good to get it all out of our system. You know, we all have this built-up extra energy that we want to get out. You know,
and I think it could be done safely.
Right.
You don't have fans, and, you know, you set up your car, and you're in staging, so
right. We're
already social distance.
Yeah, and obviously in the upper echelon of racing in NASCAR, they've come up with safe ways for them to race and practice and all that. You know, so there's obviously plans you can put into place to make it happen locally,
mm-hmm.
but and that's tough to do though because they're also possibly on a lightened staff also,
yeah.
You know, and that's tough to do too,
mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't have the staffing that they probably had before.
Speaking of NASCAR, they ran Bristol this past.
Oh, did
Sunday.
They?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. Darn it! And I saw another Ford win.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Out of the expense of a Chevy taking out another Ford,
hey.
So there you go.
Hey. A Ford won.
Doesn't matter how.
That's
so you
right.
Just look at the emblem.
That's right.
You remember the driver's name by
nope.
chance?
Nope.
He
just looked at the emblem.
If it's the blue oval, it's good enough for him.
Well, here's what Ford did. They made their emblem thicker so it crossed the line before Chevy.
Right.
I don't care how you say
like
they did it. They won.
Right. I'm just kidding.
And I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's 3 out of 4 races that
So they need to tweak the rules a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what happened right after. Like,
it's 3 out of 4 races that Ford has won.
That's right. I don't care how you put it. They won.
What's the next thing?
A win is a win.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
I don't care if they push that Ford across the track. That Ford won.
Well, you know, it's interesting to see, like, certain tracks, like, let's say the super speedways that have the you know, different type of momentum that are bigger, like 1.5 mile tracks, something where a Toyota would probably be more dominant. And then certain short tracks,
yeah,
the Fords and then the Chevys on other tracks, you know.
But it is good to see the Chevys, you know, kind of right the ship a little bit. Right. Now it's like, now all three of them are like kind of like competitive and stuff like that. And as a fan, you know, aside from a driver standpoint, as a fan, you know, that's kind of what you, that's kind of what you want to see. You kind of want the three representing manufacturers kind of go
right
at each other week after week. You don't want one dominating and stinking up the whole rest.
No, exactly, because it gets old and then
everybody gets bored,
right? And then they kind of move on to other things. So it's good to, and that's why I think NASCAR does what they do sometimes. It seems like, my opinion, after, like, let's say Ford gets five in a row, they're like, we need to tweak these rules a little bit. Let's give the Toyotas a chance or the Chevys a chance or something. But I didn't see that. Did you watch the whole race?
No.
You just watched
the last 10 laps.
You just Googled who won?
Yep.
Of course.
No, I actually saw
the battles at the end.
Well, did you watch it?
The last couple of NASCAR.
Who actually won? Yes, this is a motorsports radio show.
And cup racing is all we got left. So.
Oh, man. We're terrible.
I can't tell you.
Brad Keselowski won the last one because Logano went into Briscoe.
Yeah, Logano went into one of them guys.
Oh,
actually, it was the other way around. It was Chase that went into Logano.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
And then Brad was just, you know, right there. He did the same thing I did a few years ago. I get it.
Being at the right place
for
the
win.
Right time.
Yeah.
You know, do you think this is, and it sucks that this all this world stuff's happening, but do you think it's good for the sport of racing? Because for a while, it's been kind of getting stagnant and not a lot of people have been watching it, but they've kind of innovated in one of the first major sporting events to get live again.
And I'm glad that, you know, racing along with UFC, ironically, they're my two favorite sports.
UFC obviously has been going on this whole time,
I'm glad that they're two of the first sports to kind of push that envelope a little bit, because it's basically proving to the other sports, hey, you can have a season.
Right. Find a way to get it done
with what you can do, and still, you know, maintain a safe environment for all the athletes and the safety personnel and the competitors and whatnot. And I really hope that you know the NHL and the NBA are kind of, you know, thinking about those options because, you know, organizations have championships to kind of go after. Players kind of have, you know, contract bonuses to kind of go after. So they got to make some money somehow.
Right. Absolutely.
And on top of that, sports is the one thing that kind of brings the whole
community together.
The whole country together.
Absolutely.
It's like a common ground where everybody can kind of, you know, agree to disagree on, you know, just for fun and not really, you know, have like a personal vendetta over and whatnot.
Yep. Good point.
So basically, you know, I really hope that we're starting to see, you know, that movement and slowly but surely kind of seeing, you know, those sports like baseball and the and hockey and as well as basketball just kind of go back to, you know, the way they were, because I think fans all over the world are kind of getting stir crazy and we can see that,
you know, out the world right now. Just worried about my fantasy football. Is that still going to happen?
I think the NFL will still happen the way it will. The question is, are they going to start without fans?
Right, right.
I mean, there's a reason why they pushed Brady to come to Vegas on week 7.
And we got this giant, you know, Roomba iRobot out here that's waiting for fans.
Oh, yeah.
Can't
I
have any
about
fans
that
in
one.
There, you know, this local one.
That's the elephant in the room right there. Just mention it.
Yep, exactly, you know. And who knows what's going to happen with fans, you know, because that's fan-driven, of course, and football.
Indeed.
You know, fan-driven sport.
Indeed.
So, I don't know. A lot of unknowns out there, and again, they're all probably going day-to-day. And
all learning as we go, man.
Yep. So, hopefully, and we got some smart people out there, so get your minds going. Let's think of some stuff. Mm-hmm. And we got innovators like the Polar Shades people, you know, turning
their system around and making something happen for the community. And you want to talk about that some more? If somebody wants to get a hold of these face masks and gowns or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of still, I mean, it has slowed down a little bit because I think hospitals are making it, more, manageable and stuff, but we're still cranking out masks. We're still cranking out gowns. It's kind of been known pretty much.
Are you still geared up to do your normal business also?
Oh,
with the shades and all that?
We're still cranking out shades on top of that. So both of them are kind of going.
So even if they didn't want, the PPE stuff that you're talking about, and they still want shades and support your business polar shades, what other products do you guys produce? I mean, just tell us a little bit more about that also.
Yeah, absolutely. We produce, manual and motorized shades. It's both for exterior and interior designs.
Okay.
Right now, I think, with the summer heating up, exterior shades are kind of the popular product to go. The fabrics that we kind of have in stock, because I keep track of those fabrics every single day.
Okay.
A lot of our exterior fabrics are, strong enough for, to kind of block out the sun as well as block out some insects. And I know insects are kind of, floating around and stuff like that. So, and all the hardware air around it, we could kind of customize it to, the way your home looks and stuff like that. Just kind of make it blend and in and, make it like a part of the home. And the other good kicker is, the property values are going to go up as well. So,
you guys, can they go to your website, first of all? And then second of all, what's the process? They make a phone call, you guys come out to the home and give a free estimate?
Absolutely. So,
is it a free estimate?
So now our showroom's open. All the information is on our website at polarshade.com.
Okay.
We kind of set up appointments kind of like in our showroom. Our sales representatives kind of show, kind of like what products we have for both exterior and interior. They'll kind of take you a tour around the factory, kind of show you how it works, everything that's built from start to finish. And basically, we kind of start off, with estimates, of course, kind of give them a little free estimate, kind of see, what it would look like and stuff like that. And if they want to go for it, which I'm pretty confident that they will, because, I hate to brag about this, but we literally have the best products for, for this type of industry, on the planet. There's a reason why they're in Michael Jordan's house.
Okay.
Believe it or not. So
Can you just set up a tour for us to go to Michael Jordan's house?
No, not Michael Jordan. I don't think MJ would want that.
So where's the showroom if we want to come down to the showroom and kind of
It's not far from here.
Okay.
It's on North Stephanie, just a little bit further down on Russell, kind of like right next to like that power plant.
Okay.
And it's like right next door to right next door to Westcore and stuff like that.
Okay.
So give us a call or check the website. It's all the information is there. If you want to set up an appointment, great. We'll kind of get you in, get your shades built, and get your home rocking for the summer.
So is pretty much everything custom made for each application, I would assume, because no two applications are probably the same.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have a ton of fabrics to choose from. It's all dependent on you, like how you want to blend it, with your home and stuff like that, and how you want it to look. If you want a certain percent of openness for sunlight, if you want it completely blacked out, or if you want sunlight filtering, everything you need, we'll basically cover for it. And if we don't have it at the time, we'll make it happen. So, and that's our promise.
I think they should make you a custom race suit with a.
I would love that.
Polar shades. Cool. And then your other sponsors also. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the ticketing, the Bravo tickets.
They'll be back.
Yeah.
They'll be back.
Well, obviously this week, hopefully we'll see the opening of some of the casinos and travel again.
Yeah.
And sporting events with the Bravo ticket,
yeah.
Things like that. So what's
everything just starts falling into place, mm-hmm. we'll start seeing more activity.
Yeah. Bravo will be back. You know, they'll be back stronger than ever. They still have their office there. We have the best guys in the business, giving them the entertainment that they need. And once it comes back, you know, they'll be the first ones at it, and business will be booming with there.
Okay.
And also with Diamondback at Lansering, which is also another essential business. They're specialized in, you know, plotting out, you know, landscape areas and dimensions for not only homes, but for commercial business.
Okay.
They basically give you the framework for, you know, what you
is it mostly new construction, or they do landscaping for new homes and new businesses?
Absolutely.
Or do they do existing stuff too? Like, let's say you have a backyard that needs designed and
built.
Yeah,
I mean, they could do
but most of it, most likely, if you have a property that you're having built or something, that's the way to go.
Yeah,
okay.
most of it is commercial.
Okay.
You know, the guy that runs it, Trent and Keenan, is a really great dude.
Okay.
Gives a lot back to the community as well. Like I mentioned before, he's very, you know, instrumental with, you know, supporting the Golden Knights Charity Foundation, as well as, you know, other projects throughout town and stuff like that.
Okay.
So he's been instrumental in helping out, you know, the COVID relief effort and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I'm very proud that not only did he want to get into motorsports, but he wanted to take that leap in, you know,
sweet,
with me. So
cool.
So him, Mike Price, and Jeremy Long, they're all, it was like kind of like a triple team effort to kind of bring me in.
Cool.
And I'm definitely glad to, you know, to have them around. And I'm also glad to have, you know, the best businesses in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
You know, partner up with me. So it's really cool.
Keep that momentum going. You know, I know we're going to see a lot of Johnny Spilacho in the motorsports world, you know.
Yep, because we're going on tour.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's great. You know, we obviously are big fans of tour series and stuff like that, so it's going to be cool to see out there. Hopefully we'll see in some of the tracks that we're at,
mm-hmm.
You know, but keep that momentum going. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of Johnny Spilacho, and we want to see those victory circle pictures more often, you know.
Oh, I'll make sure that happens. That's a promise.
So
that's a promise.
Do you have a personal website or something that somebody can go to find some of these other businesses or to find out more about you? And do you have swag material or anything like that you sell or
give
away?
Absolutely. Okay. All my information, you know, racing, personal, all that. If anybody wants to keep up with me, you can find me at Johnny Spilacho, JohnnySpilotro. I keep it all the same throughout my social media content because it's just easier for everybody.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't want to cause any more headaches than I have to.
We're all about no headaches, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Polar Shades, you can find them on their social media accounts at Polar Shades. Bravo Tickets at Bravo Tickets. And Diamondback Land Survey Ang is at Diamondback LS.
Okay.
So you can find all the information on, you know, what kind of stuff they have planned going on and what they're doing, and basically how they're kind of their plans for, you know, rebounding from COVID, you know, what they're kind of offering and stuff. And you're going to find out why they're the best of the best, you know.
You know what? Just by you talking about what they're doing just already tells me that they're the best of the best, and to have you involved with some of that, you know, is something else.
Right.
Are there any local things you guys are doing, showing your cars off anywhere or anything like that, or any thing that you guys plan on doing while there's no
Governor
racing going
Sisolak,
on?
Will you let us do that?
And good point, because we're all at the mercy of
absolutely
one guy. But okay,
yeah.
Well, when
they let us do that, you know, we'll show it off for sure.
All right, we'll end it there and let you know. Make sure you guys please visit the businesses that Johnny Spilacho just mentioned. Go to Johnny Spilacho's pages, mm-hmm. and support, you know, a local racer that is forced to go racing elsewhere.
That's a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and
a
it's
good
a good thing.
Thing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong on that. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot more. Pass along to your whole team that we're looking forward to seeing them out there, and hope they do well, and we appreciate it. Again,
absolutely.
We're out of time. We'll see you here real soon. Don't wait a whole year next time.
Right. I'll be back soon.
All right.
I
we'll
promise.
See you live next Tuesday here at onwheelsnow.com at 6 p.m. the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials all get together and talk about local racing. That's what we're here and all about. So we'll see you live next Tuesday.
Thanks for coming in, Johnny.
Thank you guys for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For listening.